Lord put this on my heart. I believe I got this a couple of weeks ago. I was out here at the prayer meeting, and Gary prayed a prayer, and just prayer meetings are great. They spark off things that you've long forgotten about, or God reminds you of. And you have a Bible in front of you, and if you want to take her up, I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 38. And I'll just fill you in on Jeremiah. He's one of these Old Testament prophets. His name by scholars was the Weeping Prophet. So he wasn't there. He wasn't jumping around with great joyful things to say when you read Jeremiah. Like when you read Jeremiah and you see what's gone on in the people of God's life, in how far they were removed from God, how far they were removed from the temple, from all the things that were sacred and holy before God, that like no wonder he was the crying, prophet. And then when you see the things that were done to him, you'd go, no wonder he was the weeping prophet at the same time. And he was the people of God were far away, and God's heart was to bring them back. But to bring them back, they had to go a long route about coming back to God. And so God told them that there was going to be an invasion from Babylon, and they were going to be taken captive. But take heart, because I'm going to bring someone to invade Babylon, and they're going to set you free, and you're going to come back, and it's going to be a full circle and all of this stuff. And so even though he had some negative things seemingly to say, it was full of hope, because God wanted his people back. And so in this situation, where we take her up, he has something done on him and to him. In verse 6, it says this. It says in chapter 38 of Jeremiah, "So they took Jeremiah and dropped him into the cistern of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the guard's courthouse, lowering Jeremiah with ropes into the cistern. There was no water in that cistern, only mud, and Jeremiah sank in the mud. But Ebed-Melech, a Cushite court official employed in the king's palace, heard Jeremiah being put into the cistern while the king was sitting at the Benjamin gate. Ebed-Melech went from the king's palace and spoke to the king, 'My lord, the king, these men have been evil in all they have done to Jeremiah the prophet. They have dropped him into the cistern where he will die from hunger because there is no more bread in the city.' So the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Cushite, 'Take from here 30 men under your authority and pull Jeremiah the prophet up from the cistern before he dies.' So Ebed-Melech took the men under his authority and went to the king's palace to a place below the storehouse. From there he took old rags and worn out clothes and lowered them down by ropes to Jeremiah in the cistern. Ebed-Melech the Cushite cried out to Jeremiah, 'Place these old rags and clothes between your armpits and the ropes.' Jeremiah did so, and they pulled him up with the ropes and lifted him up out of the cistern, and he continued to stay in the guard's courthouse." They took the voice of God, the word of God, and buried it in a cistern. They took what God was speaking into the city and into the nation of Israel, and they decided to get rid of the voice of God. The word of God represented in Jeremiah was, do you remember Jeremiah was the one that says that, like, "I eat your word, I eat the scroll." He was put down in because there was people that didn't want the word of God or the voice of God to be heard anymore. There was people giving advice to the king that was saying, "Hold out," where Jeremiah was saying, "Submit yourself to the foreign invaders and the city will be saved." And there was others saying, "No, fight against them." And I just want to encourage you this morning about the word of God that's deep inside of you, that may seem buried at times in the mud, may seem buried in the cistern that has been dug down, way down, that like it's in so much mud and so much in it's been so much encased that you might have even forgot about promises that God gave. Words over your future that God gave. Words over your family that God gave. Words over ministry that God has called you to. And God is and wants to speak into our lives that even the things that you mightn't have heard from the outside, but somehow you know they're inside of you, deep inside of you. The Bible says that before the world's foundation was laid, you were in God's heart. And not only were you in God's heart, But I believe every single person has a purpose and God has a plan for their life while they're alive at this time in history. Where we live, in our nation, in our part of the world, at this time in life, that God had a plan way back before the foundations of the earth was laid. He had something in store and in mind for you. Because I don't know about you, is there not something at times niggles at you and me and says, is this it? Is this all I've been created for? To wake up, get the kids ready, go to work, pay the mortgage, pay the bills. Next day, the same. There's something inside you not go, no, I was made for something. Even if it's not saying them words to you before today, it will after today. Because the word of God is, he puts it in us, even if it's never been spoken over you yet. When people give you prophetic words or you have prophetic dreams, do you know how you say, my goodness, that must be God? Because it's already been confirmed by something that's placed deep in your DNA. You've been encoded with stuff from God. You've been encoded already from the foundations of the earth. That's why when someone says something, say Patrice mentioned Lesotho, and something in you shakes, or something in you goes, I want to do something in my world. I want to make an impact on someone's life. Maybe it's the outreach of a Monday. Maybe it's the lighthouse. Maybe it's with a neighbor. Maybe it's to do with preaching. Maybe it's to do with evangelism. Maybe it's to do with worship. Maybe it's to do with writing books, writing poetry. When someone says that and something off you goes off, that's the word of God. That's the something that God has put deep inside of you that is just being unearthed, just being touched. And then you find out that you have dreams about this thing, or you hear people talking about it over and over again. And you might have dreams and visions. You might have plans that you know God has for you, but they're in the book. Listen to what I said. Evil men. Evil men put them in there. Whether we like it or not, or whether we're too airy-fairy or don't want to even have a knowledge of it, but this is the truth. There is evil set against the plans and the purposes of God. There is evil set against what God wants to do in your life. There is evil men and evil women that will come in that is inspired not from heaven to usurp the plans of God that he has for your life. We have to get a bit real in this. The Bible mentions spiritual warfare and spiritual battles for a reason. Do you know why? Because they're there and they're real. We don't have to be freaked about it, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We've been given words and we've been given weapons that demolishes arguments and pretensions and strongholds that's set up against the word of God. But if we're down in the cistern, it means that evil has come on top of us rather than us being the head and not the tail. And then God comes along and he stirs us up. And what he's really saying is, come on, I want to get my voice out of the ground. I want to get my voice out of the deep, out of the mud, of the plans and the purposes. I want to go. And this is what happened with the word of God that was in the cistern. He sent 30 men to go and help to get the voice out of the ground. And that's what God is doing. He wants to reach in. He wants to pull it out. Come on, stand up. You know, when you look at the earth, and this world is bonkers, isn't it? Crazy. Sounded like Manuel there. Crazy. Crazy world. You look at storms and hurricanes and earthquakes and famines and wars and rumors of wars. The Bible says this, that the earth is groaning and moaning, waiting for the sons and daughters of God to arise. The earth groans and moans for you and me to come up out of our places, to stand up into who we are in God and what God has put on our life. When I hear an earthquake now, or a hurricane, I'm hearing in my head the earth saying, come on! Sons and daughters of God, start getting up out of that mud. Reach up your hand, ask for help. Accept the hands that God is putting down to bring you up out of that place and start to rise up in the earth. When next time you hear of a storm or a crack of lightning, all you can hear that saying, come on, get up. It's time to arise. It's time to believe. It's time to agree with heaven, what heaven is saying over your life. It's time to say, God, I'm with you. I have nothing. I'm a one-trick pony. I'm talking about myself. This is my testimony. I'm a one-trick pony, God, but you said it, and I'm going to agree with you. And I don't care what any other voice says. And when I do care, well, then I need to get right back before God. When I start to care what Mary thinks or Facebook thinks or Twitter thinks, or when I start to think, when I start to believe them more than I, or myself more than I believe God, I need to get right back before God. Lord, I've strayed. I'm more concerned with man than I am with you. Forgive me, Lord. I'm back in track. He wants to pull her up out of us. He wants to. Even men pour him in, but they didn't prevail. They said this, and then someone went to the king and says, King, he needs to be brought out of there. He was starving. He was hungry. He was weak. That's why they had to put the rags underneath his arms between the rope. Shows how weak he was, how fragile he was. You may feel that. You may feel, no, I feel so weak. I feel so fragile. You don't know this mind of mine at all. You don't know what even man has done or even men have done. You don't know the cistern I've been in for so long. I don't. But he does. He does, and he knows how to get you up without breaking you. He knows how to get you up without damaging your skin or damaging your muscles. He knows he's tender in getting us up, but up he wants us. Up he wants us. He wants us out of that place. And when the things that God has put in your heart, I know he's put them in your heart because his word says it. Where are you supposed to be? Where are you supposed to go? Who are you supposed to reach? What are you supposed to write? What are you supposed to sing? That's where he wants to get up. To get up out of us. It says in Romans 3:1 that the Jewish people had an advantage over every other race. Then Paul says, what is the advantage the Jewish people had? It says that the benefit that they had, the advantage they had was considerable in every way. Romans 3:1. For first they were entrusted with the spoken word of God. They had a prophetic advantage over every other nation. Look at the amount of times the Jewish people are supposed to be wiped out. They're a supernatural people. Why? Because there was a supernatural word spoken into them and over them. Now when they were trying to be wiped out by all types of people, nations and empires have come and gone, and the Jewish people are still standing. What advantage had they got? They had the word of God over them. They had the prophetic advantage. When Pharaoh thought he could have his way with them all, the prophetic word kicked into place. You're coming out of slavery. How are we going to get out of slavery? I'm going to raise up a deliverer called Moses. How are we going to come out of slavery? He's raised up Jesus like a shoot out of the ground, the Bible says. He comes. The gospel of Jesus, that whoever believes can dream again, can live again, can walk before God, forgiven by God, God on their side. That's lifting us up out of place. What advantage have you and I got? How many times have you been down and out and you thought that was it's over? Many times have you sinned? And you go, well, that's it. Somehow God reaches in, pulls us back up again, restores us as sons and daughters with full rights, full authority as sons and daughters. In Ireland, we want to work our way back, do a bit of penance, feel rotten for a while. And he's like, that's not his way. He's like, no, you're restored, established, renewed. The enemy can't accuse you. You're a son. You're a daughter. You have an advantage, and I have an advantage. It's the word that's over our lives. That's what gets us. That's what gets us from A to B. When the enemy comes against us, attacks us, rises against us, something rises up in us. No. I might be out for 6 months. I might be in the cistern for 2 years. But I'm telling you, I'm rising up. I'm coming up out of the ground. Johnny Cash wrote, ain't no grave going to keep me down. Ain't no grave going to keep this body down. That's what we have to say when we're in the pit, when we're in the cistern. No, I'm coming up. I'm coming out. That's a good song, isn't it? I'm coming out. I want the world to know. Just for a penny. I dropped Penny to school a couple of times last week, Patrice and Rob was away, and I says, Penny, well, when I go in, I'm going to grab your teacher. I'm going to give her a big kiss and sing happy birthday to her. She goes, no, please don't embarrass me. I just done it in front of her there. Well, why would you think I'd embarrass her? And this is very important. Actually, later on in Jeremiah, while he's in captivity, his cousin came and says, do you want to buy a bit of land? I thought about, my goodness, this was. So they were going to get invaded. Jeremiah knew they were going to get invaded because God told him they were going to get invaded. And his cousin says, do you want to buy a bit of land? Jeremiah says, yeah, and he buys a bit of land. Buys a bit of land in an invaded country that doesn't belong to them anymore. Buys the land, he signed the scroll. Says that he puts the scroll in a vessel, in an earthen vessel, and he buried it. Why would he do that? Why would he buy a bit of land in a land that was now going to belong to some other nation? Because he knew the word of God that was over the land. And one day he came back and he dug it up, took out the promise of God in a clay jar, and he broke it. Took out the promise of God and he went in and laid claim to what God had spoken to him all those years ago. God, you can lay claim to what God has given you. God says you and your household will be saved. You can lay claim to that. If God says that he has a business for you, you can lay claim to that. No matter if the invaders come in, the marauders come in, the savages come in, the people that are taken come in, that you still have this promise in an earthen vessel. In a clay vessel made from the mud that we are, that you carry it in you, and you can then crack that open and lay claim of it, and no enemy then can stand against what God is saying in our lives. And there's some of us, and it's time for it to be broken open. There's time for us to go and go to claim that out of the ground, out of the depths of who I am, and start to proclaim it. No, this is my inheritance. This is what is mine. My father gave it to me. The one thing about the prodigal son, when he went to get his inheritance, you know what his father done? Gave it to him. He gave it to him. He didn't say no. Now what you do with your inheritance is down to you. But he ain't holding back the inheritance. You can lay claim, God, you spoke it to me. I'm laying claim to a Lord because you gave it to me. And finishing up in Isaiah 54. This is the way God does it. He doesn't just wait for it to happen. He gives us the ability to step out to make it happen, to activate it. God's spoken to you. There's times for activation of what God has already spoken. Peter, get out of the boat. Lord, can I come out to you on the water? He says, yeah, get out of the boat. What? Sometimes you have to step out of the boat to walk on the water. You have to step out in faith to activate what God has for us. And listen to what he says in Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 is next to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is one of those scriptures. You know what I look at it as? I look at it as it's your duvet and pillow. Get into Isaiah 53. By his stripes you are healed. His punishment brings us peace. The sins of the world laid upon him. You can wrap yourself in that like a duvet. Put your head on it and rest on the pillow. Everything that Jesus done is captured in Isaiah 53. Wrap it around you. Lord, by your punishment, I was given peace. I'm wrapping myself up in that peace. When the world is raging, my mind is raging against me, I'm putting that around me. Isaiah 54, God speaks. And this is how he speaks prophetically into lives and activates. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 54:1-5. It says, rejoice, childless one who did not give birth. Burst into song and shout, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the forsaken one will be more than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the site of your tent and let your tent curtains be stretched out and do not hold back. Lengthen your ropes and drive your pegs deep. For you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will dispossess the nations and inhabit the desolate cities. Do not be afraid, for you will not be put to shame. Don't be humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will no longer remember the disgrace of your widowhood. Indeed, your husband is your maker. His name is Yahweh, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called God of all the earth. So this is what the scene is. There's somebody with a promise of God in them. God is saying to the woman that has no children, he tells her to start bursting into song. You who know no labor, You who have known disgrace in this area of your life, he says, I want you to start bursting into song, because you will have end up with more children even than the married woman. Your children will take desolate cities. Your children will overcome your children. But at the beginning, he says, I want you to sing it out. I want you to burst into song. Surely the woman with the 10 kids say she'll be bursting into song. He speaks to the barren woman that hasn't seen the promise of God come to life yet. He says, I want you to burst into song. Shout it out, because I will make your children great. Your children will overcome. Your children will take cities. Why will this happen? He says, because I'm your maker. How will this come to pass? I'm Yahweh. How will this happen? I'm your husbandman. I'm your provider. I'm the one that will make this happen. That the promise that God has put in us, he's not telling us to wait till it happens. In fact, while it's not happening, he's telling us to declare it. He's telling us to sing it out. He's like saying to us, no, you create the pathway where I've already spoken to you for you to walk in. It's not waiting for the world to tell us what's going to happen. Not telling us what the waiting on people to tell us how it's going to happen. We start speaking to ourselves. We start bursting into song. And that word burst, it means this word. It means like a fruit that is ripened to the point that is ready to burst with all of its juices. Imagine God speaking. He gets us so revved up. It's like, I have a plan, a purpose, a hope. This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. And no, I don't see it yet, Lord. That's not what I'm saying to you right now. I'm telling you that it's going to happen. And he builds you up to so much that you start spurting it out everywhere. Do you ever hear someone that gets a prophetic word and they don't realize it's about their future, but they're telling you like they're the prophet to the nation right now? They can't even wipe their nose straight, but they're telling you they're the prophet to the nation right now. That's the bursting forth. That's so real. It's so ripe that it's just every time they talk to someone, yeah, God's going to heal me. You wash behind your ears this morning? No. Do you know the Bible yet? No. Do you know any of the word yet? No. God's speaking about your future, but it's like it's a now. I believe God just wants to allow you to burst into song of declaration. How will this happen? Because he's your God. How will this come to pass? He will make it come to pass. You just have to agree with him. Why do birds sing? Does that sound like a song? Not to be a song. Why do birds sing? Because they have a song inside them. They sing in the rain, they sing in the snow, and they sing in the sunshine. Because God has put a song in them. God has put a song in you. The old philosophers used to say this, that when the stars and the planets moved, they used to call it the musica. Universal musica, meaning that when the stars in the universe move, it has a song, has a sound, which we know that today, don't we? It's all been recorded. Here's what they found today, scientists. If you send away a spit into a little thing, a little foil, you send it away to get your DNA tested, they can also tell you that you have a musical note in your DNA. God has put musical notations into the very core of who you are. They'll send you back your song. They'll send you back the notes. Do you ever wonder what your song would be? I have to get it done. He's put it in. He's coded us with a song. That's why he's able to say, come on, sing. Let's stand.